I gave this platform to God, okay? I'm on a very specific mission.
We have to identify who the real enemy is. We have to know, where does this infiltration come from? The American people need a warrior that's unafraid to point out the real enemy. The American people are deserving of truth, exposure, and extreme accountability for the crimes against humanity that are being committed. We're on the brink of the complete collapse of America, while at the same time at the precipice of an amazing victory. If we want to prevent our children from facing a future bloodbath, I mean, I'm talking mass amounts of bloodshed, we need to step up and fight this war, and we need to fight it now. Uncensored. I refuse to be silenced or muzzled. Unafraid. No man will intimidate me. Unstoppable.
Good evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. So in recent years, federal law enforcement has been exposed as a completely weaponized and illegitimate band of thugs standing with their unelected jackboots on the necks of American people. The Department of Justice and all of its subdepartments, the FBI, at the ATF, these agencies that we're told our entire lives were here to protect us and keep our nation safe from criminals and terrorists and bad guys, we have now learned beyond a shadow of a doubt are working against the American people. They've openly declared war on you. So at this point in our history, it's easier to count the terrorist attacks, the mass casualty events, the civil disturbances that weren't tied to our government than it is to count the ones that were tied to our government. Now, of course, these events include January 6th, where we've now known that since the very day that it happened, that something wasn't right, that a setup or a federal false flag or any multitude of things were in play to put the finishing touches on rigging our election and stealing it right in broad daylight. And if you speak out about it, if you petition the government to redress your grievances, the message being sent here is we're going to put you in the gulag. We're going to lock you away. We're going to deny you your constitutional right to due process. In many cases, you can't even talk to your freaking attorney. And over the past 3 years, that belief has been vindicated in court time and time again, as well as by the statements and admissions that bragging politicians and federal workers admit, like a former FBI and CIA employee who was just caught on a hidden camera admitting the FBI staged at least 20 operatives in the crowd on January 6th. We told you. We all knew it. Devin Oblenis, who looks like your stereotypical fat federal government employee, got a little bit too loose at the tongue when he was talking to an operative with the group Sound Investigations, and he let it slip that he personally knew FBI operatives who were in the crowd on January 6th, and then he added that the feds have operatives in the crowd for every protest that takes place in D.C. They even use a modified version of this online. Yeah, they send internet operatives onto public forums, and then they bait people that they want to contact or they want to incite into doing something wrong into internet relationships or altercations, usually, of course, revolving around politics. He also admitted that the FBI, on a regular basis, sets up and charges innocent American citizens with crimes. You remember the old saying, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. If they investigate you for a while and they don't commit a crime or you don't commit a crime and they get tired of following you around, or if you're just some guy who they want to throw in prison, a political enemy of Joe Biden perhaps, they'll just give you a nudge and then frame you for a crime. Or they'll just commit it themselves. That's what they do. And this guy freely, openly admitted this in public when he didn't know that he was being recorded. This is what he said, quote, you can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do. You set them up. We call it a nudge, end quote. And one of those people that Oblenis said was nudged by the FBI, or at least they tried to, was Alex Jones. The FBI has been out to get Jones for years. Oblenis admitted it. They wanted Alex Jones shut down. They wanted him off the air. They wanted the scrutiny that his InfoWars platform was putting on the deep state to go away. Oblenis said that the FBI was after Alex Jones, quote, hardcore, and only backed off of him once he was finally buried by kangaroo court cases. Take a look at this creepy tyrant.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can... You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
Yeah, we get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge.
Mm.
Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little... just to see what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you have someone fake profile say something that triggers... that we know is gonna trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it. So we're like, oh, this will piss them off.
Oh,
sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow, right?
Like a railing. Mm-hmm. Like a, oh. So when a railing happens, that sometimes the bureau behind it?
Yeah, sometimes. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Post fake news. Sometimes it's not fake. It's embellished a little bit.
Who would be like a big influencer that you're after? You, like a, I don't know, like a, I don't even know these names. Like a Fox News person, or like a Tucker Carlson, or like.
I'm sure he's a millionaire, right? You always want the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said the Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
Hardcore.
Are you still after him?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA
sure
thing?
Was.
That was the agency thing?
Actually, it was a defamation case, so it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that going to be this time, right? So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency, definitely, but the bureau, for instance, yeah, it's not our purview, it's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff, and it's there, what can we... go find.
And did you find anything?
I can't tell you. Oh, we did. But, so, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, realize the opportunity that you have.
So with Alex Jones, you were watching him long before anything ended up happening?
Probably. It wasn't my office, but, I mean, we would have been well aware of what he was doing.
And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much. And we let the families do it.
And what?
We let the families do it.
Were they encouraged to do that by the Bureau? Like, nudged?
We don't encourage people.
But, like,
we just say there's no federal statute being broken. But you do have the option for a civil case. And it's a pretty good case.
Nice.
In our opinion.
So, oh, that makes so much sense. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. So that's a lot of these cases. They're kind of encouraged by the FBI.
Yeah, like, there's nothing federal law we can do, but civilly, we can go at them that way and chop his legs off.
And they did.
Yeah.
So the FBI was happy.
We didn't care. We were like, oh.
Basically, the citizens did your job.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can encourage a civil lawsuit.
Not encourage. Educate.
What can you do with people like Alex Jones now? Because he's still out there.
Yeah.
He's still chirping.
He can chirp.
They still watching him?
Yeah.
Why?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
We took his money away. We shut him up for a while. You're never going to shut him up permanently.
How? Well, unless you put him in prison.
But again, he didn't do anything to go to prison. Being ignorant is not a crime, though it should.
It is. I mean, what? You could bring a nudge.
He didn't incite a riot, like Cheeto. He didn't encourage people to go shoot people. He didn't. So he didn't do anything.
I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C. Just in case it gets out of hand like that.
There wasn't
enough to turn that tide. I mean, I'm talking they maybe have 20. You needed 1,000. To get rid of that crowd.
So they had like, that was just 20?
Yeah, just to go through and observe and see what I can hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Well, wow. And that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So that.
Why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be overstepping their bounds.
A little bit.
Do people know that?
Why?
Did people know that the Bureau was in the crowd?
Nope, and probably never will.
Do you know agents that were there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. So the agency knew.
Harrison Smith is the host of the American Journal on InfoWars, and he joins us now to discuss the revelations made in this undercover video, including that the FBI was stalking Smith's boss, Alex Jones, in a desperate effort to shut him down. So once again, here we are, the FBI openly admitting, yep, we wanted to shut down Alex Jones. We trap people. We throw them in prison. We make up crimes out of whole cloth and just put them in jail and ruin their lives and ruin the lives of their children. They're just admitting it now. What accountability are we ever going to realize?
That's a great question. And, you know, I have seen some congressmen actually speak out about this, which is very different than how these things normally go. Normally they get totally, you know, ignored by the people in power. This is imperative on the people in power to use the power that we've given them as the representatives we voted for. It's time to use that power to defend the United States, because this is the ultimate battle. Are we actually in a republic that has representatives that can do the will of the people? Or are we just fully surrendered to this unelected deep state cabal who is clearly composed of the most evil and just detestable people you can ever imagine? These bloviating, fat, self-important gay jackasses that seem to revel in the power that they have over the American people. It's sick. There needs to be accountability, and that's a nice word. It's a nice way to put what needs to happen right now, because this is it for our country. Either this gets solved or it's over for America as a republic.
Well, I mean, if they're admitting this, they're admitting criminal offenses right on tape. If this is ignored, right. I mean, that's just further evidence that we just live in a banana republic at this point.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the FBI, you got to realize, where do FBI agents come from? You might think the traditional, like, Men in Black style, where it's like the best cop in the LA force gets recruited by the government. The vast majority of FBI agents started off as special prosecutors and district attorneys. They start off as lawyers. They are a law firm, essentially the FBI. So they're very, very, very careful. They almost treat it like a game to always stay technically within the bounds of law while clearly violating the spirit of the law. I mean, the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, all of these things are being destroyed by the FBI, but they're doing it in a way that's technically illegal. That's just within the bounds of legality. And they're very good at that. And they almost enjoy it. They treat it like a game. And so you can hear the way this guy's talking. You have things like parallel construction, where if you can't go after somebody for, you know, you can't get probable cause for a search warrant because you think somebody committed a crime, but you have no proof, you can't search them or investigate them. Well, you find a different crime that maybe you can go for. Maybe they posted that they smoke weed, so you get a drug warrant to go in and search their stuff, knowing full well you're not going after drugs, you're going after something else, and you find it while you're in there. That's called parallel construction. This would be another method of that, where they are, you know, I don't want to get into any specifics here, but speculating here, they might launch a lawsuit to open discovery to get somebody's information that they would not be allowed to get through a warrant because a judge wouldn't allow it. It wouldn't be constitutional. So they do it through a different method, parallel construction.
But don't we have the ability to do that as well? I mean, couldn't somebody like an Alex Jones, knowing what he knows now, go and sue the FBI, sue the federal government to open up discovery about just how detailed the efforts were to derail him and to shut him up?
Well, that's the beauty of national security. Still, we can't to give out these secrets would violate national security. So you might have discovery rights, but they aren't, you know, they're outweighed by the national security interests. So technically, yes, I think we do have that right. And then we have, you know, not FISA, but, you know, requesting from the government, FOIA.
Information Act request, whatever
right.
That is.
Technically, they have to give us this stuff, but they always have a national security excuse to keep the most pertinent material away from us. But there has been some discussion about launching a lawsuit. And if that's what has to happen because our elected representatives refuse to stand up to this out of control deep state, then I guess that's just what's going to have to happen.
Aren't the elected representatives and elected, I use, by the way, heavy air quotes. It's just a freaking joke. But aren't these people who are supposed to be doing the bidding of the people, aren't they just largely just ignoring this because they are a part of exacting this kind of illegal activity? And you said it borderlines illegality, but I mean, I think that this is fully illegal. You're talking about entrapment, and you're talking about arresting people and opening investigations to silence them, to shut them up because their narrative is reaching too many people. The truth, not their narrative, the truth is reaching too many people on an InfoWars platform. So we just have to do whatever we have to do to make sure that he's behind bars or feels intimidated enough that he's just going to shut up. I mean, that's illegal. And yeah. And so these so-called elected representatives, these fake America First conservative, you know, politicians, they're doing nothing. because they're a part of it. They want this to be the case so they can continue to enrich themselves and serve their paymasters.
Well, look at this guy from the Sound Investigations video. You can clearly tell he revels, he enjoys, he feels special because he gets to violate the law like this. He gets to be a bully. He gets to violate the law. They feel like they're empowered and they deserve it. It feeds on the narcissism that has to be a part of your personality if you're a politician in Washington, D.C. today. That has to be a very strong part of your personality. And hey, maybe they're going along with it because they think they benefit, or they, you know, think they're a big man because, you know, they're in charge and we're just the plebs. Or maybe they also have blackmail on them from the FBI or the CIA. Maybe when they go and try to stand up to the FBI or the CIA, they can pull up the exact same investigations they pulled on the politician and say, you better sit down before this video leaks or before this gets brought up. So, again, we've got an out of control deep state that either is in cooperation and complicit with the people that we've elected to be our representatives, or the people we've elected to be our representatives have been chosen specifically because they have blackmail on them, meaning they'll never be able to stand up against any of this. It is a thoroughly rotten system. And I completely agree. Don't get me wrong. Saying that they're staying within the bounds of law, that's pure legality. It's like the classic, you know, waving your hand in front of your face going, I'm not hitting you. But you're still the one starting it. They're clearly breaking the law. And even if they're not technically violent, even if they don't admit to it, because even he says, you know, the guy says, well, that sounds like entrapment. The guy says, oh, no, not entrapment. It's just a nudge. No, it's entrapment. He knows full well what he's doing. Yes, they're absolutely breaking the law. And they're the ones who are supposed to enforce the law. I think that sort of sums up the trouble that we're in right now.
It's a Gestapo. I mean, they're serving an illegitimate regime to exact warfare on American citizens. There's just no other way to look at it. In a perfect world, to combat this deep state and this weaponized law enforcement system, what's the remedy?
Well, that's a great question. I guess we have to look back at when this has happened in the past. And you can look at Alexander Solzhenitsyn and the Gulag Archipelago. And what did he say would have been the solution to stopping the KGB before it got out of control? And it was people needed to love liberty more. They needed to not let this piecemeal action take place. This incrementalism has to be recognized and opposed. We can't just... Because that's, if you've ever read Gulag Archipelago, right, they talk about, you know, in the middle of the night, your next door neighbor has his door kicked in and the police pull him out and you just stay quiet and go, well, at least it's not me. Well, guess what? Next week it's you and your neighbor's not even there to stand up against you. So it's about standing up against this at every possible pass, not allowing the incremental strategy of this to boil us like frogs in the boiling water. And saying that the FBI is now the KGB or the Gestapo, I mean, it is just that blatant. They're completely illegitimate. They're completely lawless. They're acting entirely on behalf of the interest of the ruling regime, not the American people. They're violating every law necessary to get the goals that they want, which are completely divorced from the goals or well-being of the average citizen. They are simply an out-of-control Praetorian Guard, elite, lawless. I mean, there are not enough words to really explain what danger this represents if it's allowed to go unabated.
Yeah. These people have to be dealt with, and that means that we have to organize. People are desperate to hold on to their freedom and individual liberty and not go to jail. I think about that. We live in this perpetual state of fear of the people who are supposed to be serving us. Like they're one step above a housemaid at a hotel. They are servants of the people. Like we are their boss. That's the bottom line. And if you're not doing your job, your boss fires you. Well, when you go and commit a capital crime, punishable by capital offenses, you're convicted, and then that accountability is exacted. The same thing needs to happen here. It can't just be a one-off, because that's what they're doing. They're picking people off one at a time, creating the exact scenario that you just depicted, which is, well, at least it wasn't me. I'm laying in bed. I'm safe. My kids are sleeping in the next room. There's my lady right there. Everything is fine. Whew, I survived. I can live to go work another day and give 3/4 of everything that I earned to this weaponized system that's plotting against me. We're funding our own demise. Our complicity and our apathy is allowing for all of this to happen. People are scared to organize because they might be called a militia, which is not even a bad word. We need to be advising our sheriffs what it is that we're doing, not asking for permission. We need to be advising our DAs what it is that we're doing, not asking for permission. We need to be shaking hands and mingling with our neighbors in our neighborhood, on our block, outstretched into our, you know, cities or towns, outstretched into our counties. Our government should fear us. That doesn't mean that we need to go randomly exacting violence. No, but they need to fear that we are a people who will do whatever necessary to preserve our individual freedoms and liberties and our prosperity and our property and the lives of our children. They need to understand that we will protect ourselves by any means necessary. I mean, I think it's time for an American offensive by people to, and you know, the word rise up, that's not a bad word either. Nobody is saying anything about a violent insurrection because we know that that didn't happen. This country hasn't seen a violent insurrection yet. But they're fearful of that, which is why they did what they did on January 6th. They needed to show what would happen if the American people decided. Can you imagine all those people? How many people, Harrison, were arrested with guns on January 6th? Can you imagine had they all brought guns and really wanted a violent insurrection? Can you imagine what would have happened in this country? None of those people would be around anymore. But see, we have shown that we are a tolerant people, but we're being pushed to a breaking point. And I don't know, I mean, whether it's, you know, conventional warfare by some adversarial country on American soil, mowing down our kids, you know, like whatever it is, Chinamen or Russians, you know, we're effectively at war provoking Vladimir Putin, who has to respond in some way, shape, or form. We're actively helping Israel kill Iranians in Syria. Iran is going to respond. We're actively provoking China by saying we'll protect Taiwan by any means necessary. This whole fake nonsense activation of the military-industrial complex is just it's an extension of what we're seeing domestically by the FBI. They all work together. The Jew lobby, the gay lobby, and the military-industrial complex. These are the most powerful people on planet Earth. But we can take that power back. What are we, an 8 billion across the planet? There's a few thousand of these people. They need to fear us. I'm sorry I went on a rant there. I've got a couple minutes left. Final words, Harrison.
No, I completely agree with you. Couldn't have said it better myself. I think, you know, it really does show the genius of our founders. It shows the power and the importance of the Constitution. What did that guy admit to, or what did he get close to admitting to? Violations of the First Amendment, violations of the Fourth Amendment, violations of the Fifth Amendment. These things were enshrined. They're not important because they're in the Constitution. They're in the Constitution because they're important. These are human rights that we have that are being horrifically violated as we speak. And it shows, again, the importance of the first two. The First Amendment, why'd they go after Alex Jones? Did he commit a crime? No, the guy admits he didn't commit a crime. The interviewer says, well, wouldn't he be in jail? And the guy says, well, he didn't commit a crime. Well, then why are you bankrupting him? Why are you going after him so hard? I mean, that was a pretty blatant omission. But they fear you talking about them, and they fear the guns. What do you think the situation would be if we didn't have guns? How do you think these people would act? When you see these people act, their narcissism, their self-importance, their self-righteousness, as they blatantly violate people's rights, blatantly break the law, and just do all sorts of horrible things. They have no concern about it, no guilt about it. They revel in it. They love it. They enjoy it. If we didn't have guns, they'd be lining us against the wall and laughing as the shots were fired. So we got to keep our guns, and we have to use our First Amendment. We have to use the things that our founding fathers gave us to fight back against this exact eventuality, which is total and complete, open, in-your-face, undisguised despotism and tyranny. It's what we're seeing. And again, I beg, because it's the last option, I beg our representatives, our elected representatives in Washington, D.C., do something about this now. Fix the system internally now. Otherwise, you're leaving us with no choice but to go outside of the system. And we want to avoid that eventuality because, as you point out, it is a dangerous world out there. And if America starts in some trouble with itself, we got wolves at the door waiting for an opportunity to pounce, whether it's Russia or China or anybody else in this world. So fix it through the system now. It is imperative on our elected representatives. They do something serious and severe to deal with a serious and severe threat, or otherwise, really, the fault is on them. So I completely agree with you. It shows, again, the importance of our Constitution and the full-scale corruption that is eating out the heart like a cancer or a rot at the center of our system that is the deep state. It's horrifying, but I completely agree with everything that you said.
Yeah. And the American people need to deal with the direct threat, violent threat, imminent great bodily harm or death type threat that's being posed to every one of us, and the bloodbath that we're going to leave our kids by the hands of this murderous corporate crime syndicate that we refer to as a federal government. That includes each one of those individuals, too, by the way. I'm not going to over here. I'm pissed. American Journal, InfoWars, Harrison Smith. Great job. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, Stu.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. So let me ask you something. Are you dealing with any stress in your life? Everybody is dealing with stress. Believe me, in my personal life, I know a lot of things that stress me out. Stress is a common factor that affects everyone in today's fast-paced world, leading to various issues. What if the answer to better stress response is in a key nutrient? Magnesium. That's what I'm talking about. Actually, I'm specifically talking about Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could be causing a multitude of other health problems. So what sets Magnesium Breakthrough apart is its ability to support healthy levels of stress hormones like cortisol, better balanced stress response in your nervous system and hormonal systems, and healthy production of GABA, the relaxing neurotransmitter that allows for more peaceful and better flow state. This means that this supplement acts as like a brake on your body's nervous system, helping them to calm and soothe themselves, promoting a better quality of life. But you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. The truth is, most magnesium supplements that you'll find in these health stores use only two of the cheapest synthetic forms. And since they're not full spectrum, they won't help your magnesium deficiency or do much to support your health. There are actually seven key forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-balancing effect. That's why I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers, because it's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes all seven of these unique and critical forms of magnesium for the best stress resilience and better sleep all in one bottle. Go to bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. Again, bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. In addition to the discount that you get by using the promo code Stu Peters, there's always amazing gifts with your purchase. That's why I also love shopping at Bioptimizers. Go now to bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. Again, bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters.
Welcome back. So, of course, human beings are inquisitive by nature. We want to know more about the things around us. And that includes other people and what they think, what they do. Why do they go about it? So, of course, it's only natural to be curious about things different. And many people are excited when someone from outside of their wheelhouse wants to know more about them, where they're from. And a lot of times, once you ask, you can't get them to stop talking. But as most of us have learned, especially over the past 6 months or so, there's a group of people that you're not allowed to ask questions about, no matter what kind of question that is, unless, of course, it's one that lets them paint themselves as the victim. Then you can ask it all you want. And we all know the group of people that I'm talking about here. I'm talking about people who claim to be Jews. Virtually overnight, people have started asking questions about Jews, about their nation state of Israel. And much of this is thanks to their war in Gaza. This genocide of the Palestinians and anyone else who gets in their way. And it's not just Muslims. No, it's Christians as well. And if you're an American and you don't support that, if you don't support that ethnic cleansing, if you don't support the carpet bombing of apartment complexes and schools and libraries, then you're an anti-Semite. And you're accused of Jew hatred and egging on the next Holocaust. And of course, there's no room for debate. No, you can't have a serious discussion. The entire conversation is had at a very basic level, like we're a bunch of children. And that's because we aren't supposed to ask questions or scratch the surface and get to the bottom of the situation because of the thousands of years of preparation that have gone into this. Right now in Israel, Jews are preparing to sacrifice what they say is a perfect red heifer so that they can then burn it, worship its ashes, and use them to purify the site where they'll build the third temple and usher in the Antichrist. Now, of course, there's a whole lot more to this. And a lot of Muslims and Christians will probably die in this process, which is exactly why CBS News connected the red heifer sacrifice to the current war in Gaza when they reported on it earlier this year. Because the Jews are putting the finishing touches on something that began thousands of years ago. But who even are these people? Are they even Jews at all? And why aren't we allowed to ask questions like that? Yeah, we're all told that we just must stand by and allow this to happen. Allow the world to potentially be destroyed by spiritual forces that we can't even understand because we're dealing with descendants of the biblical Israelites here. But DNA studies say that's just not true. Instead, we appear to be dealing with a bunch of people who hate Jesus and who are hiding behind the legitimacy of an ancient ethno-religious group to do it while claiming that God's son who was sent to earth to die on the cross for our sins is currently in hell, boiling in a steaming pot of semen and excrement. That's not hyperbole. They really actually do believe this. Adam King cleared this up for us recently, actually.
Stu, do you have any questions for Adam?
Will you show your DNA test or can't you because Israel won't allow it? Ashkenazi came from four European women 1,000 years ago.
Well, I would never do a 23andMe because I don't want my genetics to be owned by BlackRock and State Street in China.
Oh, all but, the Jewish-owned places? BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, the people that fund the Western media that tells people all of this nonsense, non-biblical, Schofield Bible, New Age crap that you're spewing over here?
Genetics, you know. There's so many genetics. Actually, in fact, 90% of the Jewish people today are directly descended from King David. We're a nation of royalty. We all are descended pretty much of King David. So it's funny because on one hand, you're saying we don't even exist. And the actual truth is most of us are descended of King David.
That's
my mother actually is descended of Aaron the Cohen, the brother of Moses.
That's BS.
We have direct lineage. That's what I'm saying. It's like, how could I talk to you? I'm like telling you where I come from. You're like,
I can talk
no,
to you when
fake.
You stop telling lies or start telling people the truth about what your people believe. How about this? You still didn't address. You still didn't address what I asked you 10 minutes ago. You just go on with these word salad babbling nonsense, but you can't answer a direct question. I asked you to tell everybody that's viewing right now. Tell everybody that is viewing right now what you believe about Jesus Christ burning in a steaming boiling pot of semen and excrement.
I believe that Jesus had children and the Catholic Church is covering it up. That's what I believe. And that's what that
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is burning in a boiling pot, pot of
I
semen
think
and excrement?
That's all a metaphor because it was illegal.
It's a metaphor, but it says it in the Talmud.
It was illegal to even have writings of the Torah during the times that these things were compiled.
Does it say it in the Talmud?
That's the Midrash.
Does it
Midrash
say it in the Talmud? Answer the question. Does it
yes,
say it in the Talmud?
These are stories from the Talmud, and it's not to be taken literal. It's a Midrash.
Oh, Jewish trickery. Got it.
That shares with us a secret teaching.
So we've spoken to various people from multiple perspectives who've experienced Judaism, either academically or just being born into it directly or any number of means. But few of them have the perspective of Pastor Steve Wolberg, who was born into a secular Jewish household before eventually coming to Christ. Steve has studied both Judaism and Christianity and is well-versed in scripture regarding the end times. He believes that there are many misconceptions around it that are hurting us today and that are being used to, among other things, justify the slaughter of this red heifer. Pastor Steve joins us now. Steve, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. You heard that clip, and to that you say what?
I did. I heard it yesterday as I watched the recording and heard it again today. And it's painful, very painful. Well, thank you, Stu, for having me on your show.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
There's so many things to say about what he said. First of all, let me clarify, I'm not a DNA expert. I'm not a genealogical expert. I'm not an expert in the Talmud, but I am a Bible student, Old and New Testaments. And when he was talking about the royalty, you know, we are a people of royalty. It's very clear in the New Testament Jesus taught this, and I can show you Bible verses. John the Baptist taught this. Paul taught this, that physical genealogy back to Abraham, or, you know, proving that you have Jewish blood, is really not the issue in the New Testament. Physical genealogy is of no value to God. What he values is a spiritual experience with him, repentance, faith, and especially since Jesus came, believing in Jesus, having your life changed, bearing the fruits of the Spirit. You know, these are all truths that are pillars in the New Testament. And so when people, you know, lay claim to genealogy, it just reminds me, and I'll read a text, and then I'm sure you've got plenty to say. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, it says, when John the Baptist saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And do not think to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. So John said, don't even think that you can lay claim to favoritism in the sight of God because of your genealogy. And then he said, for I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And I can show you many New Testament texts along these lines that physical genealogy is worthless. What counts is faith in God and in Jesus, and an experience with him, and bearing the fruits.
Yeah, isn't it kind of, I mean, it should be common knowledge. Now, much like you're not an expert in DNA or genealogy, or you're not an expert in the readings or the writings of the Talmud, you know, I've read the Bible. I don't profess to be a biblical scholar. I have a different interpretation of verses and books and whole chapters every time that I read the Bible. I think that that's probably pretty commonplace, Pastor, among most people who are trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Is that right? I mean, to really truly understand the Bible after reading it front to back a couple of times or going to it daily is just not, I mean, people don't really, there's a lot to digest there. I can't be an expert on everything biblical, but what I do understand is that salvation is pretty clear. It's pretty clear that, you know, lovingly accepting the gospel into your heart, openly repenting, calling upon Jesus Christ, seeking out the Church of Christ, being baptized in his name, calling him out as your Lord and Savior. This is the keys to eternal salvation. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's very, very much right. And you know, who was it? Somebody once said, the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. And obviously, we all have things to learn. We all have growing to do. And nobody completely understands the Bible. The more we learn, the more we study, the more we pray, the more the Holy Spirit works in our minds, the clearer things get. And even though we don't understand all the details, there are many details that are very clear. And the biggest detail that's very clear is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
That whoever believes in him did not perish but have everlasting life. And I've studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John very carefully. I've looked at the life of Jesus. I've seen his dialogue with the Romans, with the Samaritans, with the woman at the well, with many Jewish people, and with the Jewish leaders. And one of the problems with the Jewish rabbis was that they were so that their theology taught them. They believed that when the Messiah came, he was going to conquer the Romans and exalt Israel. That was the hub of their messianic understanding. And Jesus did not come to do that. He came to be the center of the stage. He came to fulfill the prophecies in the Old Testament, to be the Lamb, to die on the cross for the sins of the world, and to rise from the dead. And the difference between the rabbis and Jesus was or at least one difference, there were many differences, is the rabbis were Israel-centered. And Jesus said, these prophecies, these scriptures point to me. He was Messiah-centered. He's the center of prophecy. And I think the same thing's happening. The same mistake is happening in the dispensational evangelical world, is that people are, without realizing it, they are repeating the beliefs of the rabbis, that the scripture is Israel-centered. Whereas to Jesus and Paul and John the Baptist, the scripture is Messiah-centered, it's Christ-centered, and what we do with him is really where the rubber meets the road.
A few short questions, and then I'm going to give you an open-ended question. You said Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. God knew what was going to happen. Jesus, because he was 100% man, 100% God, absolutely knew what was going to happen, why he was walking the earth, and that he was going to be sacrificed on that crucifix. Correct? I mean, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And they did it anyways. He did it anyways to save souls eternally so that we may have everlasting life. Is that correct?
That's correct. Exactly.
And he said, no more sacrifices shall be made after this. Didn't he say that? Well,
he said, when he said, as he hung on the cross, that Roman cross, he said, it is finished. And then it says that there was the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. So that was the hand of God or hand of an angel from the top, ripping it down to the bottom. And that signified that when Jesus died as our great sacrifice, the temple service, the sanctuary, the sacrifices, all of that had come to an end because the great sacrifice had been offered.
So when you're talking about going and finding the perfect cow, this red heifer, and you know, then you're bringing it to Israel where they're being pent up, and now you're going to slaughter this thing and burn it, and all of this stuff sounds very satanic. It sounds like ushering in the Antichrist, and this guy was saying, no, this is biblical. No, it's to my interpretation is that this is exactly opposite of biblical. Pastor, your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly right. See, when he was saying this is biblical, I forgot whether it was the Christian or whether it was the Jew who was making that statement. I think it was the Christian who believes in the Israel-centered eschatology. But when you read the New Testament, it's very clear. Jesus was, Paul says in the book of Hebrews, that he offered one sacrifice forever. And as I mentioned, the veil was ripped from top to bottom. Paul said in Corinthians, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We can look at some other verses in a little while if you want. There's a number of verses that prophecy-minded Christians use to support their theory that the temple's going to be rebuilt during the 7 years of tribulation. The Antichrist is going to come into the temple and say he's God. There's certain verses that they use, but when you really look carefully at those verses, they're being misquoted. They're being misused. It reminds me of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. He was tempted three times by the devil. And in the first temptation, Jesus responded to Satan's temptation to make stones into bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in the second temptation, it's very interesting. Satan then, because Jesus quoted scripture, Satan quotes scripture. He took him down top of the temple and he said, it is written, throw yourself down. And he quoted the Psalms, but he was misquoting scripture. And that shows me Satan knows the Bible. He can quote scripture, but he misquotes it. And then Jesus responded and said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And that principle, the second temptation, is very important because it shows that Satan and people can quote scripture, but they can do it, they can misinterpret and quote it falsely.
Yeah,
and
for that's manipulation what's purposes.
Yes, the whole Schofield Bible. I understand that history from Darby to Schofield to Dallas Theological Seminary to Hal Lindsey to Tim LaHaye, the Left Behind series. This whole monumental eschatology of end time events where you have a rapture, you have 7 years, you have a rebuilt temple, you have an Antichrist who walks into the temple and says he's God, you have a Middle East bloody battle against the Jews. They use scriptures, they do, to support every single point of their theory. But when you really look closely at every single one of these texts, they're being misquoted, just like Satan misquoted scripture to Jesus in the second temptation.
So in other words, this sacrifice of this red heifer, the building or the construction of this temple, the ushering in of, now this guy, this Stinson, Byron Stinson, he's saying that he's fulfilling God's prophecy by doing this, and that he believes that this is going to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's entirely not true. And if I were to have a dialogue with him, I would ask him, well, show me a Bible verse. And if he did show me a Bible verse, then I would take a look at that verse carefully and say, is this verse saying what you're saying it's saying? And there's a lot of verses. One of the ones is Daniel 9:27. I believe he talked about how the sacrifices must be restarted in order for the sacrifices to cease. And he interpreted that to be the Antichrist doing that. And that's part of their whole structure. But that is a misquote of Daniel 9:27, which we could probably spend 15 minutes on, which is where they get the 70th week of Daniel and they move it down to the end of time. They call it the 7 years of tribulation. It talks about the sacrifices ceasing. So they say they have to be restarted in the Jewish temple during the tribulation. But when you look at that text in its context, the 70th week of Daniel follows the 69th week of Daniel. And if you go back in history, Matthew Henry, his famous commentary, Adam Clark, Chivison, Fawcett, and Brown, all these great Protestant commentaries, they all interpreted the he who would cause the sacrifice to cease as Jesus Christ, not Antichrist. After 3.5 years of public ministry in the middle of the 7th week of Daniel, Jesus died on the cross, caused the sacrifices to cease, put an end to the temple and all of its ceremonies. And Christians have now taken that 70th week, disconnected it from the 69 weeks, shoved it down to the end of time, drop it down, call it the 7 years of tribulation, call the he the Antichrist, and say he's going to rebuild the Jewish temple and restart the sacrifices. But when you really look at that text, it doesn't say anything about the Antichrist, doesn't say anything about a rebuilt temple, doesn't say anything about a 7 years tribulation. This is all illusion based on a misinterpretation of Scripture, which is contrary to a real biblical scholarship that's been going on for hundreds of years in the past from the Protestant reformers.
You remember me just saying that I was not a biblical scholar.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and you heard what I said to these people. What I said to these people was scripturally accurate. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
And this misinterpretation, you have used that word a couple of times. I don't know that it's misinterpretation. I think that it's intentional trickery. And I think that's where this whole Scofield Bible, I think that all of this is very intentional to pervert the word of Jesus Christ, to pervert the gospel. Do you agree?
I agree that many people who are misquoting the 7th week of Daniel, that they're sincerely deceived. But there are other people that would fall into the category that you just mentioned. They are intentional deceivers.
The Scofield, for example, the people who put all this together. Yeah, I mean, they knew what they were going to do to the masses. And again, I'm just going to ask you, you heard me say when I wasn't a biblical scholar, right?
Yes.
Okay, why are there pastors who claim to be biblical scholars who are out here saying, no, this Byron Stinson guy is right. This Adam King guy is right. This is biblical. This is what needs to be done. The Jews are God's chosen people. Why are they doing this? I mean, are they really misinterpreting the Bible themselves? They call themselves biblical. I mean, why is this happening?
Well, they are definitely misinterpreting the Bible, whether they're intentionally doing it or whether they're just ignorantly doing it. I think it's a blend. I think there are many people that are parroting left behind eschatology and teachings in the end times, and they're just sincerely duped. They're just misled. And the Bible certainly talks about people that are deceived. But there are other people that the Bible also talks about who they corrupt the word of God. They do it purposefully. They sneak in and they do, like Jude talks about, these deceivers who have crept in among you, and they're leading people astray consciously. And from what I've studied, and I know you mentioned, you know, we each have our field of research and study and expertise. And a lot of mine is biblical history and the development of eschatology and end time teachings. And this is a big subject, but if you go back to the time of the Protestant Reformation, the printing press was invented in 1450 in Germany, Gutenberg's press. The first book off the press was a Bible. And as the Bible began to circulate throughout Europe, people began to read the Bible, like Martin Luther and other people, and they began to look at the Bible, look at the church, look at the Bible, look at the church, and they realized the two were not the same. So Luther tried to bring about reform within the Catholic Church, but the church would not have it. The Pope said, no way, we're going to burn you and burn your books. And Luther said, we'll see about that. So he began to get bold with the Protestant Reformation. And here's a famous saying, that the reformers discovered Jesus Christ in the Bible, and they discovered Antichrist. And if you look at history, it's very clear that the major Protestant reformers in the 1500s, they all concluded that the papal power was Antichrist. And then the Church of Rome reacted in the Council of Trent to what's called the Counter-Reformation, and the Jesuits were established. And what they did was, there was one man named Alcazar who said the Antichrist is in the past. He's Nero. That's where preterism comes from. Another, his name was Ribera, he said Antichrist is in the future, and he's coming much farther later on. And so these ideas from the Jesuits slowly worked their way into Protestantism in England. Darby picked them up. They were incorporated into the Scofield Reference Bible in the footnotes, like you mentioned. And then as it developed, they said, well, this is going to happen after the Antichrist has come after the rapture during the 7 years, during the seventh week of Daniel. And that idea then worked its way into the seminaries, Dallas Theological Seminary, Hal Lindsey's nonfiction book, Late Great Planet Earth. And then the Tim LaHaye's and Jerry Jenkins' Left Behind series. And that's what's pretty much taken over the Christian world. And when it comes to trickery, the Jesuits definitely know what they are doing. And I believe, like you said, Scofield, he probably did too. He put these ideas in there and they worked their way into Protestantism. So there are the sheep who are misled and honestly deceived. And then there are the people that are behind the scenes that are consciously misquoting scripture to deceive. And that's what the Jesuits did to take the blame off the Catholic Church and off the Pope and off Rome and off the Vatican. And that's what the reformers understood. So I think we're seeing a blend of people that are just innocently deceived and just parroting what they've learned from their, quote, scholars. And then people that are consciously deceivers, and obviously behind all of that.
And then there's others that just don't even want to hear the truth. I mean, there's people in my close proximity that tell me, listening to that debate, listening to that discussion that you had with Adam King and Byron Stinson, it was painful to my ears because you're so wrong. And I'm going, what do you mean? Jesus gave his life on that cross, and that is the new covenant. This dual covenancy stuff, I mean, literal Christians, people who are prayer warriors and read the Bible, are telling me that it was painful because I was so wrong. I'm not a biblical scholar. This is the fifth time that I've said it. You understand that. But there's nothing that I said that wasn't biblically accurate. Jesus died up on that cross so that we could have eternal life and salvation. Jesus instructed all of us what to do to seek the kingdom of God. It didn't say anything. It's not biblical to sacrifice these red heifers. It's the opposite of biblical.
You're right, Stu. And you're being opposed and criticized along those lines by people that believe that they're right and that you're wrong. But my conviction is that they are misled. And when you really look at the Bible verses that they claim supports their theory, they're wrong. And what you're doing is you don't understand everything about the Bible, but you're holding on to the pillars of the gospel, and that Jesus Christ is the center of scripture, his death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection. He's the Messiah. He came once, he's coming again. And you're holding on to what you know, and what you know about that is correct. It's the, you know, Jesus is the center. And my contention is, and that's where I get into my books and I go into the details, is that the whole Israel-centered eschatology is following in the steps of the rabbis that rejected Jesus. It's not really according to the New Testament. It doesn't understand the conditional nature of the Old Testament statements and prophecies about Israel. And it doesn't understand the centrality of Jesus in everything. You know, that's being ignored. And so the issue then becomes, are you a Jew? Not, do you believe in Jesus? And I learned that growing up in the Hollywood Hills. As we've mentioned, I have a secular Jewish background. I never read the Bible. I didn't pray. I didn't know anything about scripture. We didn't hear about Jonah or Noah or Moses as I was growing up. And when I was 20 years old, I read the Bible for the first time. And my eyes were opened to Jesus as my Savior. And I And there's another whole issue. From what I understand in the New Testament, there's two Israels. There's the Israel of the flesh, 1 Corinthians 10:18, and the Israel of God centered in Jesus, Galatians 6:14-16. And I was born Israel of the flesh. I was just a secular Jew. I didn't know anything about God. But when I became a Christian, I became part of the Israel of God in Jesus Christ.
And that's not some arbitrary nation state that was founded in 1948.
No. Exactly. It's a spiritual experience through Jesus Christ. And I can show you verse after verse after verse where I can prove this. Romans 9, verse 6, Paul says, they're not all Israel which are of Israel. There's two Israels. That's the Israel of the flesh and the Israel of God. I was part of the Israel of the flesh when I became a believer in Jesus, and I became part of the Israel of God. And Paul's very clear that the Israel of God is made up of Jews who believe in Jesus, like Matthew, John, Peter, James, you know, Paul, who was Saul, but then he became Paul. They became part of the Israel of God. And then Gentiles, non-Jews, who also believe in Jesus, we all become part of one body, the same body. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. It's very clear. Jesus broke down the barrier, the dividing wall. And Jews who believe in Jesus, those who don't believe in Jesus, or those who are not Jews, are all together. We become the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:29. We become heirs according to the promise. We're centered in Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament prophecies now apply to the Israel of God in Jesus Christ, not to the Israel of the flesh, who can just trace their lineage back to Abraham, but who don't believe in Jesus. That's biblical, and I can prove it right from the Word of God.
Tell you what, I already blew through a break because this conversation is something that I could do for an entire hour. I would like to have you back. I would actually like to invite you to sit down personally and go over this stuff, because I think this is very important. We're talking about people's souls on the line here. We're talking about eternal life versus a beach chair by the lake of fire. You know, I mean, this is hell is not, first of all, it's very real. And number two, it's not where you want to go.
Amen.
I believe that, understanding, what's really happening and really understanding your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the key to eternal salvation. And I would love to be able to do that. Despite the fact that we already blew through a break, and I'm looking at these guys. Okay, so we've got a hard break in 2:20. Would you close by doing something unprecedented that nobody with a big platform does? Would you close in prayer for our audience, please, Pastor Steve?
Sure, of course, be happy to do that. We can't pray too much, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that I have to share Jesus Christ and Bible truth. And I pray that you'll bless Stu and bless all those who are watching these programs, and that you will open their eyes to Jesus, to the Bible, and to our need for God and for a real experience with you. Lord, please bless us. Help us not to follow the devil and his misquoting scriptures, but help us to follow Jesus like little children, trusting him so we can prepare for heaven and not end up in the lake of fire. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Steve Wilberg, looking very much forward to our more in-depth conversation very soon. God bless you, and thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome, Stu. Thank you so much for the privilege. God bless.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation. Or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. Times are uncertain, to say the least. And being prepared right now is more crucial than it ever has been before, which is why I'm here to tell you about this incredible offer from our trusted partner, American Reserves. For the entire month of April, American Reserves is offering you, the Stu Peters community,
Free 72-hour kits with any purchase. You heard that right. Free product with any purchase, no matter how many purchases. All you need to do is use code STU72 at checkout, because at American Reserves, it's not just about selling products. It's about ensuring that you and your loved ones are safe and prepared. This is your one-stop shop for high-quality, long-shelf-life emergency food, top-tier water filtration products, and essential survival gear. And they understand the value of being prepared without breaking the bank at American Reserves. To help make your family readiness even more accessible, American Reserves offers Shop Pay that allows you to get the products immediately and pay later. That means that you can secure your family's safety right now, today, and pay in small, manageable installments. No stress, no compromise on quality. Don't wait until it's too late. Visit AmericanReserves.com right now, grab your free 72-hour emergency kit with any purchase, and take a smart step toward being prepared. With American Reserves and Shop Pay, you're not just preparing for emergencies, you're investing in peace of mind. The American Reserves team are my friends. I trust them with my own family's preparedness. They're true Christians and patriots, and they help support my work. Go to the good people right now at AmericanReserves.com and use the code STU72 to check out and prepare your family.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
Welcome back. So we've all seen some wild-looking feet. Feet belonging to people who should have a restraining order put on them for bringing out the dogs and terrifying the townspeople. But aside from being gross, wild-looking feet and swollen lower legs can be a sign of inflammation and painful health issues that could be easily addressed if you know what to look for and where to go find it. Fortunately, Dr. Chad Walding is here to help you not have freaky feet and, in the process, get your health back under control. You'll be helping yourself and also humanity all at once. Please. Antarctic krill oil, sourced reliably and sustainably from Native Path, helps to decrease the issues in our bodies that can cause excessive leg and shin and foot swelling, as well as a whole host of other health issues extending far beyond the lower body, to help eliminate inflammation of the joints and let its users experience a new feeling of liberation. This Antarctic krill oil that I'm talking about, which is packed full of healthy omega-3s, has been found to lower the inflammation that causes lower body swelling by a whopping 60%. 60%. Studies have shown that it can reduce your risk of developing a blood clot by the same number. That's not all it does. According to additional peer-reviewed studies, peer-reviewed now, krill oil supplementation is an effective way to lower triglycerides and slash bad cholesterol while increasing good cholesterol, keeping your arteries clear, and lowering your risk of heart attack. Krill even has the often overlooked benefit of being good for your pancreas, an organ that, in a world of chemically contaminated food sources and bioweapon big pharma corporations, is increasingly vulnerable to malfunction disease, often resulting in death. Pancreatic cancer, for example, is a death sentence. So no matter what health benefits you're after, it's clear that this krill oil can help you to reach your goals while also improving your quality of life in a multidimensional manner. Listeners of this program, The Stu Peters Show, can find out more about krill oil and its many benefits by going to stopmyinflammation.com. Again, that's stopmyinflammation.com, and Dr. Chad Walding joins us now to discuss this in greater detail. Dr. Walding, welcome back. Thank you so much. It's been a while. This krill oil is really doing amazing things for people far beyond just the physical appearance, which we hope that they do also, though.
Yeah, Stu, hey, it's good to be back. And I'm glad you mentioned everything earlier about swollen feet and inflammation. These are swollen feet, especially. That's a warning sign that something bigger is going on. Something's happening with circulation where things aren't moving in the body. And very often when people have this, it doesn't go addressed and we're not getting to the root issue, which you said is inflammation, right? Very often people take over the counter pain meds or some prescription from their doctor, But many times that's just masking the issue. It's suppressing symptoms, and it's so important that we get to the root issue of inflammation. And when people think about inflammation, what they typically think about is I need to take fish oil, right? I need to take something with omega-3s, but really krill oil is far superior to the over-the-counter or the fish oil you get down the street from your local pharmacy. It's more absorbable, it's more effective, and it's a much better way to get to the root issue of these circulation problems and really inflammation, which when you fix that, you start fixing all these other things. And we have to remember that fish oil, right? Fish oil comes from the ocean that's been polluted with oil spills, nuclear disasters. There's lots of mercury in those waters. Krill comes from the pristine waters of the Antarctic Ocean. It hasn't been polluted in that way. So you're really getting the most effective, most absorbable form of omega-3 with krill oil.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. And I didn't really get that either. But now that you're saying that, yeah, the ocean has been intentionally poisoned, obviously, by these freaks that want us all dead. And then the accidents, yeah, you know, that happen in the ocean. And so then, right, yeah, you harvest this oil from fish that have been contaminated with all of these toxins and poisons, and then you put it in your body. It's amazing that big pharma and the producers of these vitamins, they just really don't care, do they?
They don't. They're interested in just keep giving you stuff that get the symptoms going, to numb you and suppress the pain that you're feeling. So if you don't get to that root issue, you just keep having the issues, and they keep you on that subscription forever.
Yeah, always. So then you're just a lifetime subscriber to the medical industrial complex. Oh, this problem, exactly, isn't going away. Now I need surgery. This problem isn't going away. Now I need painkillers. Now I need, you know, and then the next thing you know, you're hooked on heroin, and it's a big thing. But you won't be.
It's very much.
If you use this krill oil. So tell us about krill and what makes it so effective.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's highly absorbable, and it comes in a phospholipid form. This is what really makes it more bioavailable to the human. We have phospholipid form cells all over our body. So because it comes in a phospholipid layer, you're going to absorb it a lot better. And the other thing that makes it unique is that it has a powerful antioxidant called astaxanthin. And that makes it incredibly powerful as an antioxidant. It's 6,000 times more powerful than vitamin C, 100 times more powerful than vitamin E, and it's 5 times more powerful than beta carotene. So you're really, really getting to the root issue and absorbing things in a much better, effective way with the krill oil.
Yeah, this inflammation stuff is a big deal. Without inflammation, we wouldn't have a lot of the things that we have, right? I mean, I think that there's a lot of diseases. The root of it is inflammation. If we didn't have inflammation, cancer cells couldn't even grow. Is that right?
Exactly. And inflammation is good for the short term. Like if I have a hammer and I hit my hand, it's going to swell up. And that short-term inflammation is good. But what most people are dealing with, for instance, with the swollen feet, is chronic inflammation where it just lingers around. And when we don't get to the root issues and lower that inflammation, it just stays and it makes the disease in the body get worse and worse and worse. So really important that we address the root issues.
Yeah. So what you're saying is like the hammer thing, that's injury-induced inflammation. And that's obviously a natural body response. Your body is supposed to do that to protect from further injury. But we're talking about chronic inflammation that people deal with. If you had an injury, for example, I'll talk about me, for example. I hurt my shoulder, endoclavicular arthropathy. What is that? That's arthritis here. What is that? That's inflammation in the endoclavicular joint and a lack of volume in there so that you've got all this rubbing going on. If you do away with the inflammation, you get rid of that joint pain because you're treating the actual issue, which is the inflammation. Stopmyinflammation.com. Do people need to use a code there to get discounts if they're watching this program, or are you already offering the discount for Stu Peters Show listeners?
It's already on that page. Yeah, on that page, everything, the discount is there. We're doing a special discount for you guys, but check it out. It's going to really reduce the inflammation, help your body feel a lot better, and get you going again.
Are the peer-reviewed studies and the research materials all available at stopmyinflammation.com so people can like do their own research? We always encourage that, of course.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you'll see at the bottom of that thread some more information where you can see the articles. But everything we have is very well researched.
Man, amazing stuff. I'm so happy to have you back, because do you know how many people are out there buying fish oil? Because they just hear, oh yeah, I need these omega-3s, and they're poisoning themselves, essentially. Or, you know, some of these things are made with such cheap products and byproducts that they just urinate it all out. It never absorbs into the body. Krill oil is completely different, and it's really pure. It's going to help the issue. So also, by supporting Dr. Chad Walding at StopMyInflammation.com. He's a sponsor of The Stu Peters Show. You might as well buy from our sponsors. Keep us on the air and do yourself a favor because we don't advertise crap on this program. StopMyInflammation.com. Again, StopMyInflammation.com. Do all the research for yourself. Get the big discounts. Take care of the inflammation. Make yourself healthy. And for God's sake, don't show us those feet until you've taken this krill oil. Dr. Chad Walding, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Stu. Good to be here.
Heart disease and blood clots and strokes and kidney failure. You hear these things, you think death. These are all deadly, and all of them can be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle as adverse events. On top of all of it, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary pain relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. That's not a solution to your pain. Not only is it ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors. That's why researchers are saying right now to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. I'm talking about omega-3 fatty acids, but not just any form of omegas that you get with regular fish oil at the big box store down the street. No, these are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it outperforms ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have all of those dangerous side effects that we just talked about. For a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now and get your special offer for being a part of this crew, this family. Go to StopMyInflammation.com. Again, that's StopMyInflammation.com. I would like to reserve this book in your name. It's called No Grid Survival Project, and inside you'll find 75 ingenious do-it-yourself projects that can help you to protect your own family, not only from long-term blackouts or after an EMP, but also in times of economic crisis, riots, hyperinflation, hurricanes, civil war, martial law, or any other unforeseen events that may come our way. This book, the immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent, self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on the government or anyone else for your basic needs. You'll discover things like how to make water out of thin air, the long-lasting survival foods that you can make at home, automatic backyard traps and alarms for looters and intruders, a pressurized rainwater harvester, EMP-proof survival generators, the self-sustaining greenhouse, a simple device that can keep you off of FEMA's radar, do-it-yourself, no-grid air conditioning unit, and a whole lot more. Yes, air conditioning units. Do-it-yourself. The immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent and self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on anybody else. Go to nogridprojects.com/stu and take advantage of a 75% discount. This book right here, and this offer won't be available for long. That's nogridprojects.com/stu. I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about, Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.